Oh, we are blessed. Lord, we thank you that we can gather and that, Lord, we do gather expectantly to be with you through each other, through the Holy Spirit dwelling among us. And Lord, that your word fills our ears and you cause it to fill our spirit and our heart. We desire revelation by your Holy Spirit. We desire to know you more. Lord, you accomplish all your purposes. And Lord, you carry us through. And Lord, you will bring us from the beginning to the end. We thank you and praise you and ask your blessing. And Lord, I just have been struck this morning thinking of the sweet-smelling aroma of our love for you rising up. Lord, that we can please you. It is not what we do. It is who you are and that we allow, give ourselves over to you. So help us, Lord, this morning. Help us to see, help us to know, help us to love you more. In your name we pray. Amen. As I mentioned when I at the opening, I've been studying 1 Peter, and it is a blessing to me because the reason I got started studying 1 Peter is we have been meeting with Brandon and Cassandra in preparation for their wedding. And that is just a blessing. They are wonderful young people. And they are young. Good grief. Of course, I'm old. but it is a blessing, and they just enjoy being together and studying together and seeing the Lord, and it's just amazing to me how the Lord does all the things that he does. I was looking in 1 Peter. Well, I don't need to go there. Anyway, it brought me to study, and I went back to the first chapter to read. And as I said this morning, what I hope the Lord will you will hear through my voice, but from the Lord, is a reminder of who he is and what he is doing that the Apostle Peter gave to us as he was prompted by the Holy Spirit to write this epistle. And beginning it at verse 1, which I read this morning earlier, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. And this is the part I really wanted to skip all the places. The Lord doesn't skip them, but I do. To those who reside, I'm sorry, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are chosen. The last words of verse 1. To those who are chosen, we are chosen, and I know that is a conundrum to the human mind. How can we be chosen and yet have free choice? Well, don't get tangled up in that. Believe it. Believe in the Lord Jesus. He has, as the Apostle Peter knew from experience and his relationship with the Lord Jesus and the light that he saw and the life that he was able to lead after he had denied him. It's nothing, it's spiritual. There's nothing that the human, in our humanness, in our flesh, that we can imagine. How would you forgive someone who looked you in the eye and said, I'll never forsake you. I'll die for you. And yet crumbled. As my son-in-law says, folded like a piece of paper. The Lord loved him, loved us, and it is a beautiful picture of how this man became the apostle that wrote these epistles. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are chosen, he's writing to us, according to the foreknowledge of God, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, that you may obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. May grace and peace be yours in fullest measure. That is a powerful verse. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father, he knows, he knew from the beginning. He knows everything about it. He knows everything that's going to happen to us. There is nothing, as we have been praying for Stephanie, as we heard the testimony of Heidi and her, you know, the Lord knows all these things are going to be and how they are going to. He is going to use them as he, through in him, all things hold together. Those things are held together with him. And being chosen is his power being displayed. His power, his willingness to do what was necessary that could not be done any other way. Only God the Father, and Christ the Son could do the things that were necessary, that we will be sprinkled with his blood and have grace and peace in fullest measure. Hallelujah. He is God Almighty. Jesus is the Creator, the one who all things were created by him and for him. They belong to him. We belong to him. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I'm going to pause there for a moment and point out, according his mercy, his mercy, enabled by the blood of Jesus, has rescued us from sin, has saved us, has made us whole and righteous and holy. And absolutely conquered sin. Took, as Ed shared it when we took the table, drank the cup that we would have to drink as the sinful people, the fleshly people that we are. But we have been called forth from that by his resurrection, his life. Coming forth from the dead, he had to die, and he could not be resurrected if he hadn't paid for all sin, all of it. Verse 4, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. We have an inheritance in heaven. The Lord Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father, and we are in him. That is, he is our inheritance, and that inheritance is imperishable. As much as we doubt ourselves, as much as we struggle within ourselves, failing in the flesh does not change the power of the Almighty. Verse 5, who are protected by the power of God. We are protected by the power of God. We cannot be snatched out of the Lord's hands. We cannot fall away and that he will not come and get us. He leaves the 99 to search for the one as the good shepherd, just as the scripture just reinforces God's purpose. This is his purpose. His desire is that we would have this inheritance, that we would realize that it is imperishable and we can't ruin it, and it will not go away, and it is reserved by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. He is working through all these things. We are born, we come into this world, but the Lord knew us from before the foundation of the world. And we live, and he brings us to where we need to be to see him and to know who we are and to trust him to save us. And he applies the blood that he poured out before the Father, before on the altar in heaven, not the picture here on the earth. He poured that the high priest brought in for on the Day of Atonement to the temple. This is the true temple, and the blood, the perfect blood, that was poured out for us. In this, because we know we have this salvation that will be revealed in the last time, and we can believe that. And, you know, it's hard to believe. But we can take our questions, we can take our misgivings, we can take our foolishness before the Lord, and he will show us, he will reveal life to us, he will cause us, he will allow us to see that which we did not deserve. It's not a matter of deserve, it's not a matter of good and evil, it is a matter of life in Christ. I want to jump over Peter. I warned him I might go to Romans 8:1. You're familiar with Romans 8:1. I don't know that I might have a bookmark or two in my Bible if you hadn't noticed. But Romans 8:1. There is, I know we're familiar with it, but I want to get all this in. There is therefore, because we have a struggle in the flesh in verse chapter 7, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You know, I want, and I have wanted all my life, since I've known this word and seen this word, I've wanted to understand that, and I've wanted to believe it, but I've just, you know, for years and years and years, I just couldn't. It's not that I didn't want to. I thought, it's just too easy. No. He said that. That's a good thing. You know, there's a lot of things, and this with Peter too. When we read most of the introductions and openings to these epistles and these letters, it's like it's almost too fluffy. It's too good to be true. And it is, except that God makes it true. How? And why? He loves us. He loves us. He does not hesitate. So now there's no condemnation. I believe it. But I believe it and I stand in it because I am in Christ Jesus. That is an important thing. You've got to realize it is Jesus who does it. I know you realize it. But when you struggle, when you doubt, if there is a doubt, if there's, you're sharing with someone the love that you have for your Lord, remember it is Jesus who is doing it. He is bringing that out. He is causing it. He will take your words and he will put them where they need to be for his glory. Put them in the ears that hear. And this is another reason why I was drawn to this chapter, is verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We are being distressed by many trials. I mean, we feel this without all the stuff that's going on in the world, health, politics, the government, the things that are going on around us that seem to threaten us, that cause us to go to the Lord in prayer, are for that reason. We dwell in him because he wants to teach us. I don't think teach us is enough of a strong enough word, but he wants us to realize and to know and to come to believe and trust him with all of our heart. And I can't give him all of my heart. I don't even know how. I don't even know the depths of my heart. He does. He knows all of it. And he wants us to share with him and one another and rejoice even though we are suffering trials and distress and many things that threaten us. And we want, our gathering together is an opportunity for us to express our love for him and our trust in him and to be assured that he is who he says he is. This, what he has done, what he is doing, will go on forever. He loves us and cares for us. And it is not a matter of if I do good or not, because I can't and I won't. But he does. And I can stand in that. I can trust in that. There is now no condemnation because I am in Christ Jesus. And verse 7, I'm a little bit hesitant to talk about this because I'm not sure I've got it completely right, so ask the Lord to explain it if I confuse you. That the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Christ is more precious than gold. And I don't know, I kind of struggle with that. I hate to measure by things that I think are precious. I want to measure by him who is all that is precious. Gold is a thing. And yes, it is something that the Gentiles seek after, those who don't believe seek after, but he has tested, it has been even the purest gold tested by fire may be found. The proof of your faith may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Christ. His life in us is going to cause us to praise and to give glory and honor. And we don't even fully understand what he is going to show us, but he will show us, and he is faithful to do it and to come to us. In verse 9, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. That's what's precious to him. That's what should be precious to us. By faith, the faith that he gives us, he is the author and finisher of our faith. He gives us that faith. He wants us to believe in the one God sent, the Son. Obtaining the outcome of that faith, the salvation of our souls. Our souls have been corrupted by the fall, by sin, and they are being restored by Jesus. They are being restored in the communion that we share with him and with one another as we abide together, as we come together in the church, as we lift him up in praise and worship. I'm going to leave the text here and go down. Not that this isn't important and valuable, but I don't have the light on it that you need at this time. Go down to verse 15. But be like the Holy One who called you. Be holy yourselves also in your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Don't read that and say, and be sucked in to say, I got to work harder. I got to polish this outside. You know, I got to whitewash this tomb. We are holy because he is holy. He's not just a little bit holy. He is holy, 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 holy. And his holiness is our holiness because we are in him. Going on in verse 17, and if you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each man's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay upon the earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like gold or silver. You can't buy your way out. That's not the way it works. There's nothing that we have that we can hold in our hand that God needs. He wants us to give him our heart and our love and belief. redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers. We do a lot because that's the way it was done before us. He is bringing us through to the truth. But with precious, verse 19, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished, spotless, the blood of Christ. That's how we are redeemed, as a pure and holy and perfect lamb, the perfect lamb of God, Jesus Christ, his blood poured out for us. For he, verse 20, he was foreknown before the foundation of the world. Again, that's hard to understand, but it is true. And it seek the Lord about it. If it is something that troubles you, something that Charles used to say all the time, before the foundations of the world. No, the Bible says it. And it is true. Charles reminded us of it often. For he was foreknown, Jesus was foreknown before the foundation of the world. God had planned and set forth into motion all that needed to happen, all that was going to happen, all that would bring the glory and honor to him, all that would bring about the perfection of the creation and of us, the children of God. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world and has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God. Through Jesus, we believe in God. We believe in the one whom God has sent as our Savior, who raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. He will cause us, he will bring us about, he will bring us to the place to reject any other reason, to reject any other way. It's not, the world constantly says, well, surely there's more than one way to get to heaven. Surely. It's a lie. It's the enemy. Stand in the face of the enemy and believe, and he can do nothing to you, nothing to us. Since you have, verse 22, since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. He calls us to love one another from the heart. And then he has to do it. He calls us to do it, and then he has to do it in us. Don't be discouraged if it's difficult to love a brother or sister. The Lord loves us, and he loves us despite all our shortcomings. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable. We struggle with the expression of seed, and the seed that the Lord gives, the life that is in the seed, is not perishable. It is imperishable. It will last forever. Not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is through the living and abiding Word of God. That's why the Lord prepared this Bible for us, that we might have the Word, that he might express through Moses and all of the writers of the Testaments, all the apostles and prophets, and he prepared the Word and has kept the Word and gives us the Word, and he causes us to understand and gives us what we need to believe, even in the face of the threats of violence and of disaster that are around us. All flesh, verse 24, is like grass, and it's all its glory like the flower of grass. A field of wheat and the other grasses, they're beautiful in the wind, and it looks wonderful, but it will fade. It will not last. It will be harvested and bring forth its seed, but it will wither up, and the flower falls off. The flowers that we have, I really enjoy flower gardens, and it is so God. It's amazing. Look at these. How could How could that be? I you know, we can't do that. We can make it out of plastic, but we can't make it alive. Was it ever alive? It is alive. It was alive. And it's like a sunset. It reminds me of my God. Looking off to the mountains, you know, reminds me of my God, how beautiful. And yet, it's only a small, small portion. I was saying the other day, you know, I love sunsets because, you know, I love the colors that come forth at sunset. And yet, that sunset that I see is, there are countless sunsets occurring at the same time in other places that God does, handles every one of them. And that's just tonight. That's just yesterday. There'll be another one and another one and another one, and they're just glorious. My God, it goes on and on forever. Our God goes on and on forever. He wants us to believe that he goes on and on forever and has the power to do what he says he will do. We can trust it. We don't need to depend on that which perishes. And the flesh is like grass, the glory like the flower of grass, the grass withers and the flower falls off, but God continues and will bring it again and again, season after season after season, year after year after year, until it's all called back, purified, and brought forth for eternity. Made right. The creation will be made right. But the word of the Lord abides forever, and this is the word which was preached to you. The word of the Lord, just as John says at the beginning of the gospel, the word was God, with God, and the word was God. He is the word who has been preached to us. He is the word. He is the one who came forth, spoken by the Father, brought forth, caused creation, was the instrument with God in creation. And that word we can read over and over, and it is part of us always, and it does not change. He is there, and when we and we have it. It is ours to enjoy, it is ours to hear and listen to and remember and to share with each other. And if we struggle, because there's always somebody that's trying to cause a question, to raise a doubt, ask. He wants us to know. He is not stingy. He is abundantly loving us, caring for us. All right. Lord, we do thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord. I do pray, Lord, that you would, as reminding us through these verses and through the things that you have done, that Peter saw and wrote eloquently, and Lord, what you have shown us in our hearts and prepared us to see and to hear, Lord, that we could trust you and go with you and be, Lord, we could be in your presence, seated at your side at the right hand of God. Thank you, Lord. Praise your holy name. Amen.